I left, you're here, you get George C. Scott.
All right, fine. I'm cool with that. I'm just, the next day, I'm going to be like, okay, so we're going to get your wife some serious help. You and I are going to go off someplace. Let's just commit bigamy. Let's just get married again. It's fine. I don't care. I can still be your wife.
You're committing bigamy with yes. George C. Scott.
Yes.
I think, honestly, I feel like every time we stay with Rochester's, we're going to France.
We're going to France. Lillian, here we are again. We're talking about Jane Eyre and sharing our thoughts. How are you?
I'm good. It's been so long since we talked about Jane Eyre.
That's so crazy. It's almost like we recorded yesterday.
And then I went, hey, by the way, I'm leaving for Seattle this week, and so we need to record tomorrow, too.
Crazy. Well, lucky for us, we had a nice, short, easy-to-digest piece of content here today. You want to tell our listeners what we're talking about?
Piece of content. What a nice way to put it. We watched the SNL 2004 clip of Jude Law and Rachel Dratch and Maya Rudolph in Jane Eyre. I loved it. Spoiler alert. A little spoofy clip of Jane Eyre. It's about 5 minutes. So lots of content to consume. But Piper, some of our listeners might not have seen this clip and didn't want to pause the podcast for 5 minutes to go watch it. Can you recap it for them?
Boy, I sure can. Okay, so we open with an SNL clip. They actually have a book that they've printed descriptions into, which an elegant hand reads and turns pages for, very storybook classic style. So we see Jane Eyre walking upstairs where she finds Rochester rushing out of a room. And she's all like, oh, I'm so plain. And it's amazing that you can stand to look at me. And he's like, yeah, it totally is. By the way, don't go into the attic. Don't ever, ever do that. Of which he says every single time he's on screen. And she's like, okay, cool, great. And there's lots of very obvious things happening in there. We hear Bertha speak many times. At one point, she rushes out into the hallway. Another time when Rochester is gone, she has a full-up conversation with Jane. And his explanations are things like, oh, for all the weird sounds that she hears, she's like, it's squirrels in the attic. And so when Jane sees Bertha up here, she's like, are you here to deal with the squirrels? And she's like, yeah, that's it. That's what I'm doing. Later, he comes back with a bouquet of flowers, which are meant for Bertha because he's been clearly having sex with her and really loving it, which, great, I wish that was the truth. And Jane is like, oh, why do you do things with her that you don't do with me? And he's like, because I don't want to do those things with you. You're really not my type for that kind of thing. So she, I guess, is okay with him banging his wife, and she gets to like have some nice words from him now and then, and meanwhile she gets to listen to them have sex, and that's enough for little Jane. So they all live happily ever after, the end. That's Jane Eyre.
It was a minute and 25 seconds. So nice. About a quarter of the time of the full clip that we watched.
Amazing.
Which is great. I get the impression it might not have been your favorite thing, Piper.
Oh, I didn't dislike it. I didn't find it super funny. I thought it was like, I was like, oh, this is okay. They're kind of grabbing, I think, a lot of the low-hanging fruit of what you could do with this. But
here's the thing. I think you got to grab the low-hanging fruit. That's, I think, what was when I watched the Second City TV one. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was like, there's like so many easy jokes here that you're not making, and you're leaning really hard into the idea that she's gross. Like, that's your bit.
Yeah.
Where I think this, it was so funny because to me, they caught the heart of what is hard to grasp of Jane Eyre for me. The idea that this woman is like ignoring all of these huge red flags that this man has.
Yeah.
And is just like, you couldn't possibly want me. I'm just like a smart, talented, compassionate, like that's basically, so like her constantly, because the refrain back and forth between the two of them is her constantly going, thank you for ignoring my plainness. So he'll say something like blatantly sketchy, and she'll be like, oh my god, he didn't even insult my plainness even one time.
Yes. I do love that one point she shows up in her nightgown and she's like, I'm glad I'm not too revolting in this horrible drabby nightgown. And he's like, oh, it's whatever. Like, okay.
And then in Jude Law, they also did, first of all three of those actors are fantastic comedic actors. Like Jude Law is like so funny in that, because he does such a great job with the timing of like, he keeps like going upstairs and then like right before he remembers to like go back. So he said his terrible lie to Jane, which I really believe he's making up in the moment. Mm. There's rabbit squirrels on the roof that I have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And then he'll like go to close the door behind him and he'll pop back out and be like, never go in the attic, Jane.
Yes. And she's like, okay.
Which is a thing that Rochester does.
Yes.
To Jane all the time. He's like, don't worry about it. Grace Poole is just here. She's just hanging out. And yeah, mm-hmm. she lit my bed on fire. Never think about it though, Jane.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the comedy for me did come down to, what is the actress who plays Jane? She used to be an SNL
Rachel
regular.
Jatch.
Okay. Her just like facial acting and expressions was pretty great. She did like this enormous eyes and like kind of shifty expressions constantly. So that was pretty entertaining.
And then Maya Rudolph was so great. Even though she was barely on screen, she was played Bertha, and she did like a head pop out moment of like, so one of the excuses is one of the servants had bad shrimp. Mm-hmm. And she goes, we're having shrimp.
Yeah, he's like, get back in there.
They're behind the door and no one questions it.
No, of course not. Why would you?
She's a very 1949 Bertha. She's out here making her presence known.
Yeah. Gotta love her pretty corset that she was wearing. Beautifully
so
embroidered. You know, she's out here making fashion statements, kicking ass.
her lying skills are better than Rochester's lying skills, because she just turns to Rachel Jane and goes, what? Who do you think I am?
That was great. I liked that. She's like, I'm not going to dig myself a hole. What do you think is happening here? And it's like, oh, yes, you guessed it. Mm-hmm. I'm taking care of the squirrels.
Yes, I'm taking care of the rabid squirrels, you sweet, innocent summer child.
Jude Law's like fake sideburns were a bit much, but I kind of liked his like swooshy blonde hair, which felt very much like, oh, this is like an 80s or 90s BBC TV show. So they've got like these crazy, either silly wigs, or just like that's the style at the time. So I liked that kind of nod. That was good.
I also liked how they started him in like fully a fancy suit with a just very well tied kerchief situation and a vest and all that stuff, and he just got more and more disheveled as he hooked up with Bertha in the attic.
Okay, so Lillian, maybe you looked this up already, but if not, I'm going to search it. What year did the sketch come out? Because I want to see.
2004.
Okay. I want to see what movie he would have just done, because that's typically how they do SNL is like, yeah, you've just done some big project, so they're going to bring you on to host. So I'm curious what he would have been in. 2004 Jude Law. Let's see here. I don't want images. Silly Google. Alfie just came out, which we actually watched at your house, Lillian. Do you remember this? It was at your dad's place, I think. And
oh my God, yes.
We put on Alfie and like there's a song that's like associated with this. And your dad came in and he's like, how's the movie, girls?
No.
And I was like, oh, they already sang the song. What's it all about? Alfie. Like, we just like talked about that and then he left. We're like, okay.
Oh my God.
So maybe that's the movie that he had just done while they
got him on
there.
We'll say he's there for Alfie.
Yeah, let's say it. He's a suave British playboy. I think that's the point of Alfie.
Yeah.
Something like that?
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to go with it. A Cockney womanizer learns the hard ways about the dangers of dot, dot, dot. I have to load the rest of the description. Of his actions. Wow, such suspense.
Leave every second of that in.
I will. I promise.
I want our listeners to live this with us. I think my favorite part of it, though, is just the idea that what a simple solution to the birth of Rochester Jane, like, because they don't have enough time to really resolve it. And so the way they resolve it is just, listen, Jane gets to be her little, like, mousy self just out here being her, like, asking him to come watch her do needlepoint. He and Bertha gets, Bertha's not jealous at all of Jane. She does not want to go on walks with him. She does not want to hang out in the rest of the house. She's fine with him bringing her nice stuff and mm-hmm. fucking in the attic.
Yeah, she's like, no, I get free Chinese food and pizza. It's great.
And Jane's happy with just, you know, listening.
There you go. It's a perfect, if it exists, three-way scenario. They did it.
It's a semi, we could call that maybe polyamorous little couple that they are. I'm happy for them. They all get their needs met.
Yeah, once upon a throuple.
I feel like we've done it with SNL. We should rate it, though.
Yeah, I give this a 4 out of 10.
Whoa, you're not chuckles. You rated the last one on the special comedy scale. Is this 4 out of 10 on your special comedy scale?
I guess it just didn't really make me laugh. I don't know. I'm also going off of a classic Lillian, like, this is based on my mood today, and I had such a busy day. I'm so tired. So this gets a 4 out of 10 chuckles.
Oh my God. Okay, 4 out of 10 chuckles. And I'm going to do 8 out of 10 Rachel Dratches.
Very nice.
I thought it was really good. I really liked it.
Yay.
I think it did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to explain to our listeners what we're going to do with the remainder of their time? Because they might be like, hey, you guys talked about this SNL skit for like 10 minutes, which to be fair to us was twice as long as the skit was.
Yeah. So you're welcome. Well, it was Lillian's great idea that we should fill the short episode with another game because we have so much fun with those. And this one we are going to, because we just, in the previous episode, we just read chapter 27, which is all about the big stay speech and our discussion of would you stay with him, would you not? So Lillian had the brilliant idea that we should go back and kind of review some of our favorite or perhaps most memorable stay speech moments in the versions that we've watched previously. And we are then going to give a gut reaction to whether or not we would stay or leave. I think, Lillian, and let me know if you agree, I think we should rate these or give our reactions to it based solely on the speech alone, don't you think? Because, because if we go up with other information and I'm being honest, I would technically need to give my answer that I gave on last week's episode and say leave every single time. So I think based on speech alone, we should decide whether we're staying or leaving.
Okay. I think I'll explain this if this affects it, but I may go this particular Rochester for these reasons. I would be more or less likely going into the speech to stay.
Okay. Cool.
But I agree with you. I do think we should really hang our hats on specifically the stay speech and how well he convinces us that he really loves us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, go ahead and we're going to pause the recording and we'll be right back.
Lillian, what did we just watch? You look like you're going to cry.
we watched the 1970s movie with George C. Scott and Susanna York?
Sure. That sounds right. I don't know. It's not like this is a podcast we've been doing for 6 months. No one's paying us, so I'm not that aware.
I think we should start with stay or go and then explain a little bit about why, but we can't make it forever or we'll do another hour and a half long podcast.
Oh my God, it's so true. For him, I would at least stay until morning and be like, let's see if we can figure something out.
The line where he says, stay just a little while. Oof, almost. Yeah. He almost got me. Mm-hmm. I would leave because her arguments are so good.
Her arguments are amazing. I was thinking the exact same thing. But that's another question is like, are we to assume that we say as wonderful things as Jane says in these scenes?
I'm going with at the end of the logic, I was someone making the choice, would I stay or leave? And I was so sure I would stay for the set. I was like, George Scott and I are together now. Mm-hmm. But I just think like her points around, for those of you who either haven't seen it or don't remember it, we'll put all these clips in the episode description so you can click on them and just watch right away. Mm-hmm. But her logic of like, we were equals, I come to you as an equal and I can't be less than that.
Yeah.
And I won't sneak past your wife in the night. Mm-hmm. And I just can't do that to her.
Yeah.
Like that gets me. And I'm like all ready to leave and I'm walking out the door with her. And then he says, stay with me, stay just a little while, and gently caresses my cheek and that got me pregnant.
So wait, are you staying or going?
No, I have to leave. I think I would leave.
Okay. And see, if we're going on the logic, then I also need to hold true to my virtues and I will also leave. But yeah, damn, I want to stay so badly. He's like the sweetest, most tender, romantic Rochester ever. I also have to say, watching this back now, I'm so proud of the team behind this adaptation, because they truly adapted a scene, which I think the entire thing, they do a great job of that, of saying we've read the source material, we know what's important to us, and now we're going to write original dialogue, original action, reaction. And it comes across so well. And I want to see more of that. Like,
yeah, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to treat the book like a script.
Right.
Treat it like you have to find a way to represent the truth of that. And we'll see that, I think, a similar choice. We're going to watch the 2006 one as well today. Mm-hmm. And I think they made a similar choice where it's not accurate to the book in description, but I also don't think it's inaccurate to the book and feeling.
Yes. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Well, so I guess technically we're both leaving, though we're crying.
You're saying, you said first.
Huh?
You said you were leaving before we talked through the logic. You're staying. Oh. I left. You're here. You get George C. Scott.
All right, fine. I'm cool with that. I'm just, the next day I'm going to be like, okay, so we're going to get your wife some serious help. You and I are going to go off someplace. Let's just commit bigamy. Let's just get married again. It's fine. I don't care. I can still be your wife.
Committing bigamy with George C. Scott.
Yes.
I think, honestly, I feel like every time we stay with Rochester's, we're going to France.
We're going to France.
She's going to be fine. Rochester figured out a way to make sure that she can have her friends there.
It's great.
Grace isn't going to be lonely. Grace is going to take great care of her. We're going to make sure everything's fine. Yeah.
And it's like, by the way, Adele is not going to school. Like, how excited is she going to be when we go into her room the next day and it's like, guess what? I'm your new mom. We're going to Paris, baby. We're getting 1,000 outfits. What do you want?
Your dad has not been spending his money wrong. And that's what we're going to do now.
Yay.
All right. Okay. We're going into it. We're going to watch P. Cleavey's favorite, the 83.
Okay.
Come back to you in a second, guys.
Okay. So we just watched The Reason Why I Fell in Love with Jane Eyre. That Timmy D did an amazing job in his stay speech. I'm staying with that boy. Even if he howls at me as I run up the stairs. It's just because I'm going up there to grab something before I come back down. I'm like, all right, sorry, we're here.
Are you coming?
It's like when little kids are like, don't chase me. Like, no.
I was like, I'm definitely leaving. It'd be wicked to stay.
It'd be too wicked. Yeah, I'm staying with that sad man. I love him too much.
Don't hate me. I want to leave him.
That's okay. You can do what you want. You're a free, independent person.
He's too angry for me.
Yeah.
He's very much trying to squish me there, and I don't feel safe.
He does a lot of shouting. His, like, grabbing of her, I don't know, for me.
I was like, that's half the reason I'm staying.
Oh, audience should know by now, I'm obsessed with, like, their height difference. The fact that she's, like, a tiny little thing and he's enormous, just for whatever reason, fills me with absolute joy. Like, when he's wrapping his arms around her and I'm like, oh, she's so safe. Even though it's a rather intense situation, who knows actually how safe she is. But if we trust him and we love him back, then yeah, we're great.
Well, and that's the thing that our listeners don't get to experience that I just did. So we aren't recording while we're watching these, because I thought it would be a lot of dead air, and I was wrong. It was mostly Piper going, see? Look, you think this is that the idea of he's so tall is in her head. Nope, that was out loud into the mic.
Yeah, when he stands up and he towers above her, and I'm like, ooh.
And I literally went, his head is twice as big as hers. At some point, Piper goes, I know.
So anyway,
I have lots of thoughts about the exactly why I'm not staying, but I think for the point of the game, I'm not staying, and we have it on the schedule in November to rewatch the 83. So you'll get all my hot takes then. Yay. Stay tuned next on Airbuds.
Dude, I can't wait. Lily and I are going to have a slumber party. We'll wear our jammies and take a cute selfie. It'll be great. Yeah. Okay. What's next on the roster?
Our next one, we're going to just go in chronological order for when these came out. So we'll watch the 2006 now and see the Rochester I'm going to stay with for sure.
It just already gives her spoilers. Answer. Cheater. You cheater.
Spoilers, I'm going to stay with him.
All right, I'm pausing. So Lillian just found her future husband. Yeah. We do that again. It kind of cut out.
Meow, meow, meow.
There you go.
Gotta get the clean take on the good stuff.
Yeah, baby. So we're here for professional podcasters. Yeah. So we're both staying. Duh.
Yeah. Because we're pregnant with this child.
Yeah. No. There's a lot of, it's a very sensual scene. extremely sexy.
Super mature commentary during it because we're both adults.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Maybe someday we'll do a rated R version of this and then you Patreon listeners can find out what those thoughts are. Yeah.
Oh my God. That would be a great Patreon. If you guys actually think you would do a Patreon, email us because we would do commentaries for all of these.
Yes, we would. Gladly.
Oh my God.
But yeah, no, he's so sweet. He's so tender. He's so sexy. Yeah, no, it sounds great.
Here's the thing. We're going to just go to a villa in France and we're going to play with his balls.
And welcome to the explicit episode.
He said we're going to just play with balls. That's what he said. That's a quote from the movie.
It's from the movie, guys. Get your minds out of the gutter. No,
we have
totally.
One more. We don't want to do a million. I know everybody's like, but we love your hour and a half long episodes that's half you laughing or all us laughing. So we have one more. It is the 2011. And I believe that my prediction would have been that you would leave one Michael Fassbender. So let's find out.
Okay, we just watched the Michael Fassbender begging Mia something something.
I wanted to say Mike Wazowski.
Begging Mike Wazowski to stay with him forever. And that one-eyed little green monster said no. I also need to say no to him.
I'm going to say a fast yes.
Oh, oof, wow.
I'm staying with that man. Ooh, he loves me so much.
Really? Okay, I think a big part of this game comes down to hot or not in our individual eyes. Because
I don't think it's hot or not. I think what I would say the difference between Timothy Dalton and Michael Fassbender here is Timothy Dalton is angry and intense and passionate in a way that is almost frightening to me, where Michael Fassbender is so sad.
See, that I say the complete opposite. Michael Fassbender literally has his like hands around her throat when he says I could snap you.
He cries on her lap.
Yeah, well, Timmy D cries too, Lillian. I think Timmy D's tears are much hotter than Fassbender.
His eyes, were you staring at? I got lost in his eyes.
He's good at emoting.
I drowned in there.
So stop pretending like it's not just you think he's super hot and you want to date that shark. I'm into the jelly green giant and you like the shark man. It's fine, Lillian. We just need to admit this.
So all of these, except for the 70s, are on our rewatch, although the 2006 is going to be wild, guys. Buckle up.
Yes, seriously.
Because we want to finish reading the book and then we'll get to it.
Yeah.
I want to recap who we're staying with and who we're leaving.
Okay. I think I'm staying with George C. Scott, Timmy D, something with the...
Toby.
What's his name?
Toby Stevens.
And I'm leaving the shark, Michael Fassbender.
And I am leaving George C. Scott, leaving Toby. I was going to say Toby D. And I was like, that's wrong. Timmy D. I'm leaving Timmy D, which Piper's like a little mad about, but also like more for her.
It's fine. You can leave whoever you want to leave.
and then I'm going to stay with Toby. We're going to be sister wives to Toby. And I'll have Michael Fassbender all to myself.
One thing I think is so funny, Lillian, is when we play these games, like, you act as if we're both actively, like, involved in this and not, like, it's its own, like, separate universe. So you're like, now we're sister wives. Or, like, when we played Marry, Bang, Kill, and I say I'm going to marry someone, you're like, well, I guess I'm killing your husband. I'm like, that's not how it works. He and I are safe in our own individual romantic pocket dimension. And then you get to do whatever you want to the other version that you have.
And I, like, bring my version of Toby in, and I'm like, look, we both have a Toby. And you're like, go away.
And then the two Tobys get too close to each other, and there's some, like, big multiverse, like, fraction.
You're like, you imploded the universe.
And I'm like, Lillian, just send me a text about your Toby. I'll send you a text about mine. Toby updates.
I want to hang out.
Amazing. I love this scenario for us.
We're both doing great. We're both super sane and well rested today.
Yeah, it's just a wonderful day. Given just how chaotic we are, it's time for a little bit of a break. I think we're a little too saturated with all of these Rochester husbands. It's a lot. So we're gonna cleanse our palates and watch another period romance musical family classic. In order to get ourselves back into the mindset so we can talk about this intelligently going forward.
With fresh taste buds, it was the runner-up of our palate cleanser survey we did last time. We are going to be watching The Sound of Music.
I am so pumped. I had this thought before it was said out loud. I just want to say that. I liked it before. It was cool. But when we had the pleasure of talking with, it was Allison Hall.
Allison Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When we chatted with Allison Hall to in her interview about being Jane for her miniseries, web series, she talked about Sound of Music as essentially being a Jane Eyre adaptation with the whole kind of a governess falls in love with the master of the house sort of situation. But luckily, there's no lady upstairs. There's just Nazis. So
no, I'm always thrilled when it's not a secret wife in the attic. It's just a bunch of Nazis.
It's
anyway,
just the Nazis, guys. It's going to be great.
This podcast takes a very strong anti-Nazi stand.
Yes. I know we're going to lose all of our listeners now.
No.
Saying that.
We like to take the really thought-provoking stances. Like, we're very against Nazis.
Yeah, we say no to them.
And we're doing great. My experience with Sound of Music, which I'm sure we'll talk about more, is it was for, like, the 6 years I was in elementary school. Mm-hmm. It was the We Have a Sub music class movie.
Nice.
So I probably watched it, like, 50 times in those 6 years. Mm-hmm. We never actually had our music teacher show up. Just kidding. and have not watched it since. In completion. I have not watched it as an adult.
Oh, that's so, I'm so excited for you, Lillian. I have gone back in the last, like, year or so and rewatched it as an adult. Nice. And it's such a cool new experience.
Yay.
Yeah, because I have vague memories of it being put on at, like, family events and me not really paying attention to it. So seeing it as an adult and getting to focus on what I love most, the romance, is wonderful. So can't wait to talk about it with you guys.
Well, we'll be back next week to talk about that. And I'm going to steal the closeout. I'm going to do the closeout statement.
Do it.
Here we go.
It's all yours.
And in the meantime, happy Jane Eyre reading and watching, guys.
Yay. We love you.
Bye.